You can make your way back to your seat today. So thankful for the move of God we've had so far in our service. You know, sometimes I like to kind of stop and maybe put myself in the shoes of someone that would be here for the first time, a guest, or maybe someone that doesn't have a background walking with the Lord. And, you know, some things taken out of context, it could sound a little odd. You know, some of the songs we sing, singing Dancing on the Grave I Once Lived In. If you just said that to someone at the supermarket, they might think you're a little odd for saying that. But yet how powerful and how biblical, you know, I'm reminded, and you even see people today being exuberant in their worship and praising. And we recognize that without God, we were all lost in sin, dead in our decisions. There are people here today that the trajectory of their life was seemingly set by addiction, set by their own decisions, set by circumstances. But God stepped in and changed something. And so that's why today we can sing, many of us with personal confidence, that I'm dancing on the grave of the person I should have been without God, on the future that should have been but wasn't, because of the grace and the mercy of God. I'm so thankful for that today. I don't want us to gloss over that today. And then when we say things like death is not the end, yes, we understand that. Not only do we realize that our mortal body, this is not the end of life, but that it only marks a new beginning, that we have an eternal soul, but also even in this world, there are things that you may metaphorically consider to be dead, things that you're like, there's no hope for this situation. There are people that even today are sitting next to people that they shouldn't be sitting next to because the relationship was headed in the wrong direction, or shouldn't be sitting here at all occupying this space because of the decisions they made. But I just declare today that death is not the end. What you may see as something that is dead and gone, God can look at it and say, I can bring that back to life. I can bring that back from the dead. There are maybe situations in your life that you don't know, but God. I'm so thankful for that today. And I'm just excited about the worship set. I could preach the worship set today and never even have to go into my notes and just have plenty of material. I'm thankful for all the things that God is doing. I just want to reiterate a couple things tonight. The One Accord service, 6 o'clock at the Ford Performing and Community Arts Center. I can never remember exactly what it is. The Ford Expo and I don't know. You know what it is. You know, you can. It's on our website. FirstChurchSterlingHeights.com. I know that. But 6 o'clock tonight, we're gathering with other churches in the area. Around 1,000 people, I think, could be there. And it's just going to be a great time. For me, it's kind of special because it's a time that I can just be in church with you all. And I'm not preaching. And I can just maybe spend a little more time. So I'd love for you to join us. My wife and I will be there. Pastor Draylen's leading worship at the service. My wife is singing. Several people from our church are involved. And so we're thankful. But want you to be aware of that. Another thing I just want to announce, something that I think is kind of dear to me and something I want to make more a part of our culture of our church is just the personal development and development of leaders and development of people in their ministry and mission and passion. And so just kind of maybe a personal aspect of that. And for lack of a better term, I'm calling it the Pastor's Book Club. And so I'll be launching that. And all that is basically is I'm a little behind, but then moving forward, at the beginning of the month, I'm just going to be sharing a book that I will be reading for that month. I will, at the end of the month, we'll have a Zoom call that I invite you to be a part of and join. And I'll be kind of sharing some things that I gleaned from the book, some things that I'm going to be applying maybe to our church or to my own personal life. These are going to be, some are spiritual, some leadership books and different things. So I invite you to just join me in that. Again, we're going to have information on our website and text you about that. It's not mandatory. It's not for everybody. But if you're someone that you want to just walk forward in your own personal development, your own leadership, some things that I think God can help us with, I want to just make you aware of that. Today is a day in the life of one of the couples in our church, Lewis and Emma Pacheco. Lewis is on keys and Emma's right here on the second row. And they have recently gotten married and they moved here to Sterling Heights and kind of launching their life together and just a season here with us. And they're going to be moving to Houston. They have some opportunities there that I believe can help move them forward. And so we're excited for them, excited that my wife and I and our family, we've known both of them for several years and are thankful that God has used them in such a great way. And although maybe the season of time they were here were short, I believe that what God has kind of joined with our church family is great. So we want to just pray for them. So I know Lewis may be stuck on the keys, but Sister Emma, would you just mind, could you just stand where you are? And why don't we just do this? If you don't mind, could you just reach your hand out to Lewis and Emma? Let's just pray a blessing over them as they continue to move forward in this next season of their life. God, we thank you for Lewis and Emma today. God, I thank you for their love to you, God, their love for one another. Lord, I pray that you would walk with them. God, I pray that you would anoint them, God. Lord, you see the comings and goings of all of our life. God, you see every season of life, Lord. So today I just pray a blessing over them. God, I pray you would bless the Pachecos. God, I pray that you would use them in your kingdom. I pray that you would keep them in your hand, Lord. I pray you would bless their marriage and their life and ministry together, Lord. We thank you for their love and their service to you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Feel free to bombard them after service tonight and tell them that you love them. And I want to also just want to share a couple updates. I know I'm taking a little bit of time at the outset. I hope it's okay, but we have been doing some updates around the church, as I've been mentioning. And you may have come in today and maybe play the game, you know, what's different, those picture games where you play as a kid. And so you might have walked in and said, there's something different. And sometimes you forget what you've seen for so long because you're used to it. And you're like, was that wall there? Was that paint always that color? You know what? So maybe if you've been around a long time, you recognize, but lots of things happening, but there are some things you don't see. One of those we are excited about is we've just updated our baptistry rooms. So we actually have just a picture of that. And so we have new baptism t-shirts. So everyone that's baptized will get this baptism t-shirt, which we're thankful for. But in that case, we had many baptismal robes that we donated to First Praise and the Pittmans. And our prayer team that prays throughout the week, they were having prayer, and they, Sister Vanderwater was telling us a story that they had intended to have maybe a little more formal time of prayer over the baptism robes and said, you know, we want to pray that God would bless these robes, bless people that get baptized, bless that church. And but they didn't do all that. So she just prays to the Lord. I just pray a double blessing. I just pray a double blessing on those people. And those robes got donated to First Praise, and just in time because they had three people lined up to be baptized this past week. But I want to announce today that they baptized six people, double the anticipated amount. We have pictures today. So can we just thank God for a moment with First Praise that there are people getting baptized in Jesus' name, and something as simple as a baptismal robe being donated can be a blessing to the kingdom of God. We're so grateful. So thank you, First Church, because you're a part of that. And then one other thing I want to just tell you that last week I brought a need before you of a church in our district, in our area, Detroit Hope Center, Pastor Jenta, and they were facing an opportunity that they had to go from a smaller building to, I think, around 3,000 square feet, if I remember correctly, to a building that came available just a mile down the road, 20,000 square feet. And they had the ability to finance it, but they did not quite have the funds to close. They didn't have the cash on hand to close. I presented this need, and I prayed, and we made a commitment from the church, but you came alongside, and people came alongside. And I just want to let you know that this past week, we wired $18,800 to Detroit Hope Center. And I've got some pictures here. That's a picture. Next picture. Next picture. That is Pastor and Sister Jenta, and they are closing on their building on Tuesday afternoon, and that is going to be the future home of Detroit Hope Center. And that's not about us to glorify us. That's all about God and all about what God is doing in His kingdom. Can we just thank God? Thank you, Jesus. Look what the Lord has done. I'm thankful when He does it at First Church, but I'm thankful when He does it at Detroit Hope Center. Can we just pray for the Jentas right now? Lord, I pray you would bless this building. Let this building be a place of hope and restoration for the city of Detroit, Lord. Bless the Jentas and their efforts, Lord. I pray a blessing over them, God. Use them mightily in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Look what the Lord has done. It's a kingdom thing. It's a kingdom thing. Thank you for coming alongside and blessing another church. That's what the kingdom of God is about. It's a great day today. We're missing several that are sick, and our next gen, they're on their winter retreat, so our students are coming back. But I have friends that have pastored for a while, and they make some jokes, and it's the picture of the pastor looking out the, you know, the windows and saying, well, it may just be the four of us today, but we're going to have church. But I'm thankful that we have a vibrant body. And so although there are many sick, I'm thankful that you're here today and looking forward to what God is going to do. We are continuing our series, sermon series today, First Things. As we've kicked off this year, I felt that we needed to talk about some first things, some things that we needed to do first, because God, I believe, has some great things in store for us. God has some great things in store for you. But if we are going to do great things, we have to do first things. And I want to just let you know that next week will be the conclusion of this series, as conclusion of the month. And we'll end this by taking communion together. It's going to be a very special service. We want you to be there. So make sure that you're here next Sunday. But we are going to continue this conversation today with a passage of scripture that we cannot overlook. If we're talking about things that Jesus said first, this one we have to address. So if you want to stand with me, I'm going to go to the Word of God, Matthew chapter 6, and we jump into a passage, three chapters of Scripture, the Sermon on the Mount, very, very famous passage of Scripture. And in Matthew 6:33, Jesus says this, and he says, I turned to the wrong thing in my Bible. He says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Those five words, what a summation. Seek ye first the kingdom. And today my title, four words, seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. You can be seated today. And we visit this familiar topic, this familiar saying, if you will, and verse that we've heard time and time again, seek first the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And so we're visiting this phrase that we've heard so many times, and I believe an important passage, if we're talking about first things, Jesus saying, seek first the kingdom. It's a pretty important thing. But, the truth is that this thing is a very interesting kind of phrase, and one that kind of goes against some things that we may hold in our life in general. And so many of the teachings of Jesus, you have to understand this time, that Jesus was really doing a spiritual course correction, because at the time, the religious elite, the Pharisees, the scribes, and Pharisees, Sadducees, these people were obsessed with everything being done by the letter of the law. It was all about checking boxes, all about making sure you were doing the right thing. And so as Jesus came, he was trying to reset the minds of people to say, listen, I know you've been taught this way, but it's so much more than just the facade of what you do. It's so much more than just your actions alone. And so much of his teaching is really a reset. But this verse and this phrase really goes beyond just the teachings of the day. And what it does is it actually challenges all of humanity, regardless of your religious background, regardless of even the Pharisees, regardless of their beliefs. It wasn't just for that time, but it's really something that challenges not only the people that he spoke this to, but us reading this today, this idea of seeking the kingdom of God first is really a interesting and challenging thing. Seek the kingdom first? That's a tall order. Might I even say far-fetched, if I'm being real about it. It seems so removed from the aspect of our everyday life. I'm talking about the things that I do from day to day. Seek the kingdom first seems like a very abstract thing to say. Kind of difficult to grapple with. And yet it's what Christ boldly admonished us to do. You could argue that it kind of wraps up so much of what he was believing and saying for us to do. Seek the kingdom first. But what does that mean? How do you do that? And you know, I'll admit that looking at this passage of Scripture, the Sermon on the Mount, this portion of Scripture, there's so much teaching, there's so much information, there's a vast expanse of things that we could bring out of this. But I want to look at this, the culmination of what Jesus taught. And so many times we connect this verse with some other verses around it. And so there's some other things like Matthew 6, verse 19. And it creates this contrast. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and dust doth corrupt, where thieves can break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He says, where moths and dust, they can't get to it, and thieves can't get it. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So there's this juxtaposition. The English Standard Version says, don't store treasures here on earth, store treasures in heaven. But I think there's a misconception that we can fall prey to, that the Pharisees and the people that lived by the law did in that day, but it stems from a good place. But what we want to know right from wrong. We want to know black and white. We want to know in so many ways just what are the rules, what am I supposed to do? But when we read verses like this, we can naturally create kind of two camps. There's the spiritual things and there's the natural things. There is seeking the kingdom and they're seeking the earth. There is storing treasures in heaven, they're storing treasures on earth. But what we also say is, well, I'm supposed to do all of this and none of this matters. Is that, but how can that reconcile with our everyday life? It's kind of tough to figure that out. Again, we set up these ideas that seem to be so opposed to each other, yet we can't really live that out. If I'm to say, you need to seek the kingdom of God first, well, what does that mean? What effect does it have on me? How do I actually do that? And there's another passage here in this this chapter, in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. It's interesting because in the King James Version, the heading above it says, teaching on worry. The English Standard Version, it says, do not be anxious. And there's some things that Jesus tells us not to be anxious about. He says, don't be anxious about your life. He says, don't be anxious about what you eat or drink. He says, don't be anxious about your body. He says, don't be anxious about your clothes. He says, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Now, if we apply this heaven versus earth logic over the words of Jesus, you could see that it's impossible to apply. It's impossible, right? What I mean by that is, you know, okay, are you saying that my life doesn't matter? Are you saying that my clothes don't matter? Are you saying that my future doesn't matter? Are you saying that all these pursuits, they don't matter at all? You saying don't think about this kind of stuff? Well, how do I do that? And I would say that within those categories, your life, your future, what you will eat and drink, your body, your clothes, that is really most of the effort, most of the energy, most of the pursuit, ambition of your life lives after those things. What am I going to eat? How am I going to provide my family? What am I going to do? Right? And so it's interesting, but so to place something so intangible, so lofty, so again, otherworldly, like seeking first the kingdom, to place that instead of those things, that's difficult to do. How do I do that? And yet Jesus called us to. So what do we do? How do we reconcile this phrase, seek the kingdom first? How do you do that? If Jesus called us to do it, we have to look at it. What does it mean? And there's a couple of things we do need to understand. The spiritual, he expects in our life, should be higher than the material. The kingdom of God is worth more than money, than food, than fame, than clothes. But if we look at it and we could say, well, seeking the kingdom seems really difficult to apply to everyday life. If we have it's either this or that mentality, then to seek the kingdom means to reject the importance of everything else. Then the danger of that is then you won't apply this term, seek the kingdom, because it's like, well, it's too difficult. It doesn't make sense. How am I supposed to do that? So I'm just going to live my life. And so the danger for Christians is we actually just ignore it instead of grapple with it because it's too tall an order. It's too difficult a task. It's too impossible to keep in front of our mind. And, you know, it's interesting. The King James translates this Greek phrase. It says, take therefore no thought for the morrow. That's the verse. Take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. But the way that we would translate its meaning now, the way we speak, we wouldn't say don't think about it. We would say don't be anxious or don't worry about. So I want to tell you that it's not that Jesus doesn't think these things are important. Surely he wants you to eat. Surely he wants you to care for your children. Surely he wants you to move forward in your life. Surely he wants you to do well in life. It's not that he doesn't want us to think about or care for these things. It's that he doesn't want us to be anxious for these things. It's a very important delineation here. You see, now to create the backdrop, the law, which Jesus was fighting against, the law only cares about your actions. It just cares about what do you do. Do you check the box? Do you come to church? Check. Do you give the money? Check. Do you do this thing? Check. But Jesus is trying to say, there's so much more than that. That's why earlier in Matthew chapter 5, he talks about this. He talks about these different things. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 21, he says, you know, you've heard it said, you can't, if you murder, murder is evil. Murder is wrong. He goes, but in verse 22, but I say to you, everyone who's angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And then he goes on in verse 27. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery, right? But I say that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. What is he saying? He says, listen, I know that the law says divorce is not right. Yes, I understand that. But if all we say is divorce, if that's the only thing we care about, no. He says, I'm trying to get not after just your actions. I want your heart. That's what Jesus is really saying. He's saying, it's not just a list of actions. It's not just some boxes to check. I care about your intentions. I care about your life. I care about your heart. Something the law doesn't care about at all. Because as long as you check the boxes, you're good to go. But Jesus is not just about the law. He wants your heart. Jesus is after your heart, not just your actions. The law is obsessed with your actions, but Jesus is saying, I'm after something the law doesn't care about, something it cannot reach, something that just the way that we would live, if we were to live just legalistically, it doesn't care about those things. So when he says, seek first the kingdom, when he says, lay up treasure in heaven, when he says, don't be anxious, he's not saying, don't eat. He's not saying, don't provide for your family. He's not condemning those things. He's not saying these things are not important. He's just saying they shouldn't be first. It's not that these things are not of great importance. You need to do those things. You need to care about those things. He's not saying they're not of great importance. He's just saying they're not of first importance. We need to understand that today. It's not a redesignation of the things of this life as meaningless as a Christian. It's reprioritizing and making the kingdom of God first. Yes, I believe God wants you to succeed on your job, but it's secondary to the things of God. Yes, God wants you to provide for your family, but it's secondary to the kingdom and the will of God. Because if we seek it first, if we seek the kingdom first, what does he say? All these things will be added unto you. But if we seek money first, if we seek fame first, if we seek clothing first, then we make the things we seek a treasure to us. We make it a treasure. And things that of this earth are not meant to be a treasure. They're meant to be a tool. But if I'm spending all of my time seeking them first, whatever I seek first, I make a treasure. Whatever I seek first is in danger of becoming an idol. You know, let me just tell you something. Church, our church, is not in the business of saving money. Now, my financial stewards, please don't get stressed at that statement, okay? What I'm saying, you may say, well, Pastor, we have a lot of money in the bank. You know, we've talked about, let's imagine we're building. Yes, from a personal perspective, if it was my bank account, I would say, yes, we have a lot of money in the bank. But if we're talking about the mission that God has given us to reach Sterling Heights, you could argue, no, it's really not that much money in the grand scheme of things. And we're wise and we have savings and we protect our resources and the campus God has entrusted with. But this is what I'm saying, is that we don't save money for the sake of hoarding money as a treasure. Guess what? Every cent of money that we get, we are going to spend with the effort to make heaven as crowded as it can be. Why? Because we have to understand that money is not our treasure. It's a tool in the kingdom of God. So yes, we're going to get money. We're going to save money. We're going to build a building. But money better never be our treasure. It better always be a tool in the hand of God. And if I want to say that thing corporately, I better embrace that thing personally. So you know what? I don't want my my children to grow up thinking all daddy cares about is getting money. All daddy cares about is a paycheck. No, I want them to understand it's in the kingdom of God. And so we give to God first because I want to make it my priority. Yes, I need to provide for my family. Yes, it's important, but it can't be first. If I put it first, I make it my treasure. If I put it first, I make it my idol. But I've got to seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. Don't lay up treasures on earth, but in heaven. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. He says in that same passage, if your eye is good, the whole body will be good. If your eye is bad, the whole body will be bad. But he also says, if you think that what you have in your life is light and it's actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. You can trick yourself into thinking you're doing the right things, living the right way by having the right actions, but are not followed up by the right heart things. So we have to understand that, because he ends that by saying, you cannot serve two masters. You have to serve one or the other. It'll be God or mammon. You have to choose. So what's amazing about that is we understand that verses in that passage, verses really, the 19 through 24 is pick which master you will serve. And then verses 20, you know, the next verses will be, well, and now pick the perspective you will have. First you pick your master, then you pick your perspective. And we don't like that terminology. We don't like talking about it in that way, but that is so true that, okay, yes, these matters of life are important. Your family, what you eat, what you drink, how you live. It will be foolish to act as if they're not important, but they can't be first things. We don't serve money. We don't serve man. We don't serve ambition. We don't serve our lifestyle. We serve God. God takes care of us. You see, God is not against thought for the important things. He's against anxiety of these things. And that's what I want to talk about for a few moments. Because you need to understand this. Your priorities and your peace go hand in hand. You may be anxious because you're looking to, working for, trying to solve the puzzle. But you're putting your hope in the wrong thing. You're anxious about the wrong thing. You're trying to solve the puzzle the wrong way. You see, you're not really trying to solve the puzzle of money in your life, if you feel like that's it. You're not really trying to solve the puzzle of what you're going to do next. You're not really trying to solve the puzzle of your career. You're not really trying to solve the puzzle of your home. You know what you're trying to solve? You're trying to solve the puzzle of peace. You could maybe say, is there a dollar amount? You might be able to give me a dollar amount today, but it's not really money, I would argue, that you desire. What it is you want money because you want peace, right? And sure, again, in the context of this conversation, can money help with your life? Absolutely. But money does not have the authority to give you peace. Money cannot give you peace. And when I phrase it that way, you'd probably all agree. Okay, yes, I agree. Money can't give me peace, but it can fix all of these other things that I'm anxious about. But there's a huge misconception. Is that misconception of the fact that money will give me peace, things will give me peace, treasures on this earth will give me peace. But the truth is, if money is your treasure, if the right home is your treasure, you will think that your peace depends on those things. And if your peace is dependent on those things being perfect, you will be anxious until you have them. But the danger is, when you get them, you'll discover that it didn't bring you peace at all. That's why anxiety is such a core part of this conversation. Because if you have your hope in peace in the wrong thing, then you will end up serving the wrong master and you will end up having anxiety. That's why he says, be anxious. Don't be anxious for these things. Don't be anxious for these things. We understand that in John 14, 27, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He said, I am giving you peace. But we need to understand that today, because that's the danger we live in. The danger is that you will be so consumed with the wrong things that what was meant to be a tool becomes a treasure to you. And again, where your treasure is, your heart will be. And if your heart is in those things, you will never have peace because those things have no power to give you peace. Only God can give you peace. So when I'm talking about seeking the kingdom of God, I'm not saying these things don't matter. I'm not saying money doesn't matter. But what I'm saying is if you place all of your hope for peace in money, you'll be disappointed. But by seeking the kingdom of God, you can have peace even when you don't have the answer to money. You can have peace even when your health is failing. You can have peace in the middle of all these things. Why? Because it's a God-given peace, not some flimsy form of peace that will shatter with every waking moment. There's a song that many of you know, I know that many of you don't know, and it's a Shirley Caesar song. This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. That's the kind of declaration that you need to make today. That, you know what, God, I want to have the kind of peace, I want to kind of have the kind of joy, I want to have the kind of love that the world can't give it to me. Why? Because I got it from God, and I can get it by seeking Him first. When I seek Him first, I can get some things first. And when I seek Him first and get the right things first, then guess what? Money can't take it away from me. Depression can't take it away from me. Bad circumstances can't take it away from me. I'm declaring that today. You can have peace if you want the kind of peace that comes from God. But to do it, you've got to seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. Seeking the kingdom of God does not put you in opposition to these mortal things. It's not the fact that, as I said, we create this, oh, am I pursuing heaven, the things of heaven, the things of the kingdom, or am I pursuing the things of earth? It's not that you have to live in poverty. It's not that you have to reject everything. It's not this versus that. That's what I want to reframe in your thinking today. It's not that you have to either pursue the kingdom or pursue the earth. It's the fact that, yes, all of these things are a part of your life. It's not one versus the other. It's putting one over the other. Yes, all of these things are important. They're of great importance, but they can't be of first importance. I'm asking you today, what is first in your life? Not what's important. There are some important things that you have to deal with. There are so many things you have to do. I'm asking you, what's first? Seek the kingdom first. It's got to be first. Righteousness in the Holy Ghost is better than riches. The peace that passes understanding in Jesus is so much better than anything you can gain without it. We've got to seek the kingdom first. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. I know that you want all of these things, and it's not a prosperity gospel of, oh, if you just pray, you'll be rich. No, it's understanding that if I seek the kingdom first, everything else will be directed. Whether it's God's will for me to be rich, whether it's God's will for me to just have the right employment, whatever God's will is for me, if I seek Him first, He'll add everything else that I need in my life. You got to understand that. We got to see that. And there's such a promise to God. If you read this, He says, you know what? God cares about the sparrow that flies. The sparrow doesn't care for itself. God, look at the lilies. God clothes the lilies in beauty. He makes them beautiful. If God cares about the birds of the air, if God cares about the flowers of the field, how much more does God care about you and the happenings of your life? We don't serve a distant and removed God. God sees you. God cares about you. God will provide for you. If you take care of God's things, He's going to take care of your things. If you put Him first, He'll provide for you. Is there anybody today that have seen God faithful in your life? Could you just testify? I've seen Him be faithful. I've experienced His faithfulness. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You care about every detail of our life. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. He knows every prayer that you prayed. He knows every concern you have. He's not leaving you comfortless. He's going to walk with you through every season, every circumstance. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But we've got to seek first the kingdom. I know I'm passionate today, but we've got to get this right, this peace. So what happens when you seek the kingdom first? Again, I've recognized the the disconnect from such a lofty statement to the reality of our life. So what does that mean if I seek the kingdom first? Well, what's amazing is when the goal of putting God first in your life is first there, if that is what you put first, it will direct everything else. It will reframe your perspective. Things that the world sees as treasures and things to be pursued, you will be able to put in their rightful place as tools, and that will direct everything else. Let me give you some examples. The world sees fame as a way to exalt oneself. The kingdom of God sees influence as a way to exalt Jesus. The world sees money as a way to amass wealth and lift you up and pursue happiness. But you can go to the supermarket and look at the tabloids, and you obviously see how that's working out. But the kingdom of God sees money as a tool to advance the kingdom. So we need to understand that you can seek other things, and that can be good. But as long as you're seeking the kingdom of God first, because if you seek him first, everything else will be directed from there. If you seek him first, everything else that you need will be added unto you. You got to understand it today. It's not a neglecting and rejecting of everything else. It's a seeking first, and then everything else will be added. Oh, I'm so thankful that we have this promise from God. If I seek him first, he will provide. Everything else will be added. Thank you, Jesus. Stand with me today. I'm coming to a close. And this is so vital for us. Let me speak to those of you that call First Church home, that have been walking with the Lord for a long time. If you're a guest or you're new, I'm so thankful, and I hope that I've navigated a topic that is so deeply ingrained into some of our lives that I haven't alienated you. But let me just speak to those of us that have been walking with the Lord for a long time, that the words and the pages of this book are familiar to us, and we've patterned our life after. Let me just be very frank and straight with you, because it's so important. If we seek first the kingdom of God, what you seek first really matters. So I ask you, when something happens, how do we do this? Well, when you go through something, pray first. When you face a difficulty, give first. You know, you say, well, we talk about money a lot. Well, Scripture talked about money a lot, but the truth is, I know and recognize that, you know what, money is a pretty good indication of my values. Money is a very good indication of my values. So one school of thinking is, well, I'm a little concerned about the money. I'm not sure if I'm going to have enough money to give, you know, tithing. And again, this is, I know to some people, it's a complex topic, but in essence, I believe that tithing is a wonderful principle from God. I don't believe that we are bound to the Mosaic law, from the Mosaic law. But we do understand that even when Jesus came, he said to the Pharisees, he says, you tithe? And he said, and that's good, and you should, but you shouldn't neglect the spirit of what you're doing. So I believe in tithing. I believe it's a wonderful principle that's set forth. And what is tithing? Tithing keeps first things first. So for me, it's a perspective of the dangerous perspective is, well, I'm not sure if I'm going to have enough to give. But the truth is, my approach has always been, you know what? I want to give first. Why? Because I want to put this first, because it's a heart check. How do I know if I'm seeking the kingdom of God first? How do I know if I'm really doing what God has called us to do? Well, check the indicators in your life. Check your time. Check what you're doing with your time. Check what you're doing with your money. And it's an indication. Let me just be really frank with you. I'm a new pastor, and I may change this. I don't know. But right now, I don't directly look at our giving statements. I don't look at your specific giving statement. We have a financial team that oversees those things. And I just really like that. I really like that. So I don't know. If you're standing here today and you just gave a lot of money last week, I'm sorry if I don't come shake your hand and say thank you so much, because I don't look at the details of the finances. Because right now, I mean, I oversee the finances. I'm involved in every aspect. But right now, I'm not looking directly at who gave what. And because I want to be able to stand before you today and say, listen, I've lived my whole life really outside of a senior pastor role. And it's a principle I've found in my life to be true. If I give first, the Lord takes care of me. I got to give first. It's an indication of my heart. Where's my heart? And so, speaking to our church, this is the danger. If you're the person, you seek the kingdom of God. You know the patterns of life, you know the rhythm of life and what it means to live for God, all of the deeply ingrained patterns. The danger is that if you're not careful, you'll take all those patterns, all those good things that you know, all those good habits, all those good traits, and and you'll begin to aim them at the wrong thing. You'll begin to aim them at security. And the danger is that if our priorities are reversed, souls can be lost. When the things of this world are regarded as supremely important and the things of God take a back seat, we catapult ourselves right into the will of the enemy and right out of what the way that God has ordained us to live. Now, you can't save yourself by works. I'm not saying that. But if Jesus said you can only serve one master, you can't serve two masters. You will either serve God or mammon. So that tells me that if I begin to serve the other, then I'm not serving God. And you're susceptible to that. And you know what? This is maybe just another, just culturally for us right now, we're in a unique place in our church, unique time. But this church, and I hope we have nice things, and I hope we continue to make improvements, and I hope this sanctuary is as beautiful as we can make it. All those things are true. But if we ever get to the place where we become excited and our spirit becomes a comparing spirit, and we say things like, oh, well, this is better than, oh, well, this is so much nicer than, we missed it. Because the danger is peace could look like, oh, we have a new building, sigh of relief. No. We need to remember that we're here because today, statistics tell me, today there's a woman who has been suffering abuse and doesn't know who cares, doesn't know where to turn, doesn't know if anyone cares about her. And I want to be a place where someone can walk in those doors, speak to somebody, and encounter the life-saving, life-giving power of Jesus Christ. I want women who have had an abortion and thinks that's taboo in the church. We don't talk about that. No one speaks about that. I want them to be able to come in here and know that their heart can be restored. I want people who are broken, who are ravaged by addiction, not to feel like this is a place that they don't belong. I want them to feel like this is a place they can come in. But if I make this place, this building, this edifice, if I make what we do here my treasure, then I won't care about them. I'll just care about coming and looking nice and saying hello to you. This can't be my treasure. And if you're a guest, I hope what you're getting is you're getting a little look behind the curtain of what we want our heart to be, what our church is about. I want nice things. I want us to do well. I want us to grow. I want us to be able to impact our community. A larger sanctuary will allow us to do that. But it's just a tool. It's just a tool. If it becomes my treasure, then I'll become anxious about every little thing. I'll become anxious. I'll become consumed with anxiety. So today I want to speak to you, follower of Jesus, someone serving in ministry, someone on one of our volunteer teams, and yet you're riddled with anxiety about your future. You're riddled with anxiety about your finances. You're riddled with anxiety about what's going to happen. Maybe the answer is not pray that God would take your anxiety away. Maybe you're not actually seeking the kingdom first. Maybe your commitment needs to be, Lord, I've allowed other things to get in front of you. Because guess what? We all do that. This is something we have to maintain. It's not a one-time thing. Seek first the kingdom. Don't be anxious about what you will do. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Yes, care about it. But if you're consumed with anxiety, maybe the answer is seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. And if you are someone that you would say, I haven't walked with God, I'm not, this is new to me, what I would say to you is there's so many things that our culture would like to prop up as the ultimate goal. And you've already experienced, without me telling you, that so many of those things are as flimsy as a picture, that the world paints a picture of what it is, but it's like a literal picture, and all that happens is you break through the paper and there's nothing there. You know this to be true. I don't have to tell you this. You know money doesn't make you happy. You know the next relationship's not gonna make you happy, but you just keep doing it because you don't know what else there is. I'm telling you, it's Jesus. this thing that may, the kingdom of God that seems so otherworldly. I'm telling you, if you will seek him and just say, God, I want you in my life. I need you. If you simply start there, all of a sudden God will begin to help you and direct every other aspect of your life. Things like money, things like your job, things like finances, things that you don't have an answer for. God can help direct those aspects of your life. But if you're not in the kingdom today, I want to tell you that you can be baptized in the name of Jesus no matter what you've been through. If you battled addiction in your life, if you battled depression in your life, if you've been through unbelievable circumstances, today we can baptize you in the name of Jesus and you will come out of that water as a new person, forgiven from all sins you've ever committed, everything you've ever done, everything you've ever said. The Bible says will be washed away in Jesus' name. You'll be a new creation. That's the promise for you today. But I can't do it for you. I can't make you do it. I can just show it to you. I can't seek the kingdom for you, church. I can't seek the kingdom. I can only show you how to seek the kingdom. You've got to make a personal decision. My house, we will seek the kingdom first. In my life, I will seek the kingdom first. So if you've got depression, if you've got anxiety, maybe the answer is not pray it away. The answer is, God, I want to seek your kingdom. And if you seek his kingdom, he can resolve things you can't resolve. If you seek his kingdom, he can fix things you can't fix. So right now, would you come down to this altar? I want to encourage you. I want to push you in your spirit. Seek first the kingdom. If you've got issues, you need answers, seek the kingdom. I don't have the right answer today, but what I do know is seek the kingdom. If you need to be baptized in Jesus' name, let me baptize you today and put God first. You can start today in Jesus' name. Let's pray all across this place. Seek the kingdom. Seek the kingdom first. Seek the kingdom first. Seek the kingdom. Seek the kingdom. Bloom in my house was pray a little bit more, and I want to tell you that we have one person that's about to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of their sins, and we're going to celebrate that. If you've never been baptized, let me just encourage you. Today can be the day for you for have all of your sins wiped away, washed away. If you want to see Brother Garrett right there, if you want to wave your hand, he's ready to talk to anybody. But we have one that's going to be baptized. So church, even if you're done praying, could you just stick around? Let's just celebrate the work that God is doing. But today is the day that we seek first the kingdom. Let that be in our family. Let that be in our life. God, I want to seek your kingdom first. And if you do that, God can take care of so many of the anxieties of your life. Oh, can we just thank God together for his mercy and his grace to us? Yes, let's worship him. Let's thank him for another moment and praise him today.
Christ is my firm foundation.